I have seen the ruined lives of millions bound by sin. I have seen those in places with a bottle in their hand. Yet I know this could be me. I could be in that same place, but I'm washed and I done to deserve this grace I found. I was lost as could be when his hand reached way down. Where once I had nothing, I now have everything, and I thank God for grace that saved a wretch like me. Precious blood that washed my sin away. If not for Calvary, where would I be today? I was blind, now I see, and I thank God for
thank God for grace. Amen. Whew, that's good stuff right there. I'm telling you. Praise God. Thank you, ladies, for singing that song. That was wonderful. Wonderful. Amen. I'm shaking a little bit here. I got excited on that. I'm glad for the grace of God. Amen, Brother Brian. Thank God for grace. Amen. If you don't know about the grace of God, I hope before you leave this building today, you'll know something about it. Amen. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But before we do, I want to say something. Pastor, can I grab this right here? I'm sorry. I got to say this. The pastor said it was okay if I didn't, but I just can't help myself. This morning, those of you that know my family are going to be shocked by what I say, but we were at church before every bus but Brother Don's. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have to get up before the roosters crow if you're going to beat Brother Don's bus to church, okay? But for those of you who don't realize that, we were here early this morning, Brother David. I'm talking about in our place. Got gas on the way to church this morning, doing good. Pulled in the parking lot. Got out the vehicle, got the Bible, got the kids. Said a couple things. I said, Mary, where's my coat? She said, I don't know. I said, I left my coat at the house. It was hot this morning. I was loading the vehicle, going in and out, taking stuff out to the vehicle. And anyway, I took my coat off because I was sweating, and I laid my coat over the sleeve of the couch, and Well, my coat's still laying over the sleeve of the couch. And so I wanted to make that announcement because I feel a little awkward up here. Anytime I come up here and speak or preach, we even tell our young men, if they're going to read the scripture, they need to wear a shirt and tie and a coat. And so I had to tell our young men this morning, that rule goes for everybody except Brother David. But Brother Allen in Sunday school offered to help out. What do you think? I'm telling you right now, Brother Allen is a true friend. He said, Brother David, I got you. I'll hook you up. He said, you can wear my coat. So here we are, Brother Allen's coat. But I won't wear that this morning because nobody will pay attention to anything I say. But I told Brother Allen, I said, man, that thing smells like cigarette smoke. No, I was just playing. Yeah. Oh, man. But anyway, I appreciate Brother Allen and his willingness. And then he said, or you could wear Isaiah's. And we didn't try that. But anyway, Isaiah gave me a hard time this morning about it. He said, Brother David, you're the first preacher I've ever seen get up without a coat on to preach. I said, I appreciate the encouraging words, Isaiah. Thank you for being so encouraging to your youth pastor this morning. It's really an encouragement. But anyway, so that's why I don't have my coat on this morning, or at least that's why I'm saying I don't have my coat on this morning. It's kind of hot in here, ain't it? Amen. I was kind of glad when I walked in here. I said, praise God, that might have been of God me for getting my coat. But anyway, I'm going to get into the message. I want to say something else, and I feel compelled to say this. And I want to tell you as a church family, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and I won't go into great detail, but obviously those of you that were here last Sunday night, there was a little miscommunication about my health. And I had an upset stomach and body aches, and I just didn't feel good. And so I came to church, but I dropped my family off, and I went home, and I laid down and slept a couple hours. And I woke up, still felt bad. But Monday morning, I started to feel a little bit better and felt better as the day went on. But evidently, somewhere in the line of communication between my wife and the pastors, they said I had chest pains. So a lot of, I'm being honest now, a lot of folks, and I mean this, I tell you this, I told my wife, I said, it's kind of embarrassing, somewhat, you know, everybody coming up to me, are you doing all right, texting me, you gonna live, and Brother Allen, actually, I gotta say this, Brother Allen called, I was sleeping, and I woke up and I had a voicemail on my phone after church Sunday night, and I picked it up, and I looked at the voicemail, Brother Allen left me a message and said, this is Allen Merriman's crematory, and I hear you're going to be needing our services. Our phone number is 1-800. Why'd this happen to me or something like that? And anyway, so he thought it was funny. I asked my wife if she had a good insurance policy, but like life insurance policy. But anyway, but no, I was not. I just wasn't feeling well. But I mean this now. If anything God did through that, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I told my wife this, I told Brother Brandon this, it showed me something about our church. I'm honest. My phone blew up. Sunday night with texts, with calls, Monday morning, Monday throughout the day, even Tuesday. I bet I had 20 text messages or calls from folks of this church to tell me they're praying for me, to ask about me. And I'm just going to tell you, as a member of the church, that means something to me. I'm glad to know that when things do go wrong in my life, that I've got a church family that loves me and cares about me and is praying for me. So those of you, and some of you, I realize you prayed and you might not even have my number, but those of you that have prayed for me, I even had folks come this morning and say, I was worried about you, praying for you. I just want to tell you, thank you and keep it up. That's missing in our day. I almost preached a message on Barnabas, and one of these days I'm going to preach it. We need some Barnabases in our churches, some people that are there to encourage one another. And I'll just tell you that I was encouraged to be a member of Fellowship Baptist Church this week by the love and concern that was shown to me from the people. So I wanted to get that said too this morning. John chapter 3, you're there. I'm not going to be long this morning. And I say that to our teenagers every Wednesday night, and they never believe me. And last Wednesday night, Curtis, I said I wasn't going to be long. Curtis said, I believe you for some reason, Brother David. And so I went an extra 15 minutes just to prove Curtis wrong. But I'm not going to be long this morning. I have a short message, and it's going to be a simple message, to be honest with you. It's going to be a very elementary message to some, probably, in this building this morning. But to others, it could be a very important message. And so I would ask that everybody would just pay attention and remove any distractions that might be in your mind or your heart this morning. And give God, don't give Brother David, give God and God's Word your attention this morning. Because I believe that someone needs this message, if not many, need this message this morning. So I would ask, with that being said too, young people, I sure am glad to see all these juniors here this morning. If I understand correctly, they egged their teacher this morning. Is that right? Amen. I seen them out in the field this morning. If you've seen the juniors out in the field, they had a competition going on. And so Brother David got egged this morning by a Sunday school class. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That's a trooper right there. But I appreciate you young people being here this morning. But I'd ask you, please don't move around. Don't get up and go out of the sanctuary unless it's an absolute emergency, because somebody needs what I'm preaching on this morning. And so please try not to be a distraction. You've had John chapter 3 read in your hearing this morning. And I'm going to preach a message that I've titled, Born Again. Born Again. You know, if I were to ask this morning, how many sitting in the room this morning have been born, no doubt everyone in the building would raise their hand. Except maybe Brother Allen. He might have been hatched or dropped by a stork or something. But no doubt, everyone, if I were to ask, If you have been born, you would be able to raise your hand and say, yes, I've been born. Obviously, Brother David, I'm here. But if I were to ask, how many by a show of hands this morning knows without a shadow of a doubt that they've been born again, I doubt the response would be the same. You see, in a room this size, I'm just compelled to believe that there's folks in our midst that have never been born again. And I want to speak to you this morning on that subject, born again. I want to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to pull out a couple things from this section, and I'm going to give you 3 points to start off with. And really my third point is the meat of my message. So I'm going to go through the first two pretty quickly, but I want to show you a couple things that I see here in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, the first thing I see here is an examination. An examination. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You see, he's examining Jesus. Nicodemus, he come. The Bible says he come at night. Why he come at night? I'm not sure. Some commentators believe that Nicodemus came at night because he didn't want the other religious leaders, the other Pharisees, to see him talking to Jesus. Some believe he came at night so that he could have Jesus' undivided attention, because Jesus had a lot of attention as he went about in his ministry, and Nicodemus was hoping to be able to have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus. But regardless of why Nicodemus came at night, Nicodemus came to examine Jesus. He came to ask some questions. He came to find out some things about Jesus. It was an examination. And it goes on, and Jesus, in verse number 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked another question. The Bible says, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a good question. Nicodemus, you see, is examining Jesus. He's asking him some questions. And I believe that possibly there's some folks that come to church this morning and you're examining Jesus. Maybe you came, maybe you're a young person and you've been coming with your parents and you're getting to the place where you're starting to understand a little bit and you're starting to have some questions and you're kind of examining some things about Jesus. You're trying to figure some things out. Maybe you're an adult and that's the case for you. I don't know. I really think that should be the case of all of us. We should come to church every time we come with a mindset of examination. I want to find out what I can. Not in a critical way, not trying to find fault, though many of the Pharisees did try to find fault. I don't believe that was the case with Nicodemus. I don't believe he was trying to find fault in Jesus. I believe he really wanted to know some things. He really had some questions. And I think every time we come to the house of God, we ought to come with that mindset. I'm coming to learn something. I'm coming to get something. I'm coming to find out something about God. You see, it was an examination going on here. And Nicodemus came examining Jesus, but as Jesus always does, before Nicodemus left, the examination was turned around on him. How many of you like, I bet young people like when their parents do that to them, right? You come to mom or dad and you ask them a question, and then they turn it around and they ask you a question, right? They say, oh, I'm not the one under interrogation here. You are, right? But Jesus, Nicodemus came to examine Jesus, and Jesus examined him. In verse number 10, it says, look at verse 10, chapter 3. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Nicodemus was examining Jesus, and Jesus turned around and said, hold on, Nicodemus, let me ask you something. You a master in Israel, and you don't know these things? And so there's an examination going on here. I hope there's an examination going on here this morning. I hope some folks are here wanting to find some things out. So in John chapter 3, I see an examination. Not only do I see an examination, but I also see an exhortation. An exhortation. You see, in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse number 7, it says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You see, there was an exhortation. There was an examination. But there was also an exhortation. Jesus was telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus, there's something that's real important. There's something that is of a necessity. Nicodemus, there's something far more important than what you came to talk about tonight. You see, Nicodemus came to want to talk about the miracles that Jesus had done. And Jesus said, oh, Nicodemus, that, or either maybe Jesus read his heart. Maybe Jesus knew what Nicodemus really came for and he just cut to the chase. But either way, Jesus said, Nicodemus, let's just get to the point here. There's something real important. There's something I need to talk to you about. There's an absolute need in your life, Nicodemus, and that is this, that you get born again. He said, ye must be born again. It was an exhortation. And I come to you this morning with an exhortation. If you've never been born again, if you've never had a second birth, then I'm telling you this morning, hey, it is an absolute necessity. Jesus said it, not Brother David. The Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way that anybody, there's a lot of scripture that people can try to twist and people can try to confuse and people can try to turn around, but there's nothing that no false teacher in this world can do with these scriptures right here. Jesus made as clear as he could. Twice he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It's not an option. It's not up for argument. You have to be born again. There's an exhortation. So there is an examination. There is an exhortation. And now I want to get to the meat of my message, and it's this. There is an explanation. I'm so glad that Jesus is willing to answer our questions. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't just leave us in the unknown? You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. If we want to know something, all we have to do is go to Jesus and ask Him. He wants to tell us. He wants to help us. He wants to give us what our hearts desire. And Nicodemus, this is one reason that I believe Nicodemus didn't come in a critical spirit, because other Pharisees came to Jesus in a critical spirit and Jesus turned it back around on them and sent them on their way. But the way that Jesus handled Nicodemus makes me believe that Jesus knew Nicodemus and his heart really wanted some answers, and Jesus gave them to him. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a good question. Well, not really. I mean, we know the answer to that, right? But I believe Nicodemus was saying, this is what Nicodemus was saying in 2017. Huh? Right? I don't understand. What do you mean, Jesus? Born again? How can a man be born again? And I'm glad that Jesus gave Nicodemus an explanation. Verse number 5, the Bible says in verse number 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." You see, Jesus answered Nicodemus' question. I think it's very simple here. Now, there's a lot of different opinions about what this scripture means, but I'm going to give you what I think it means, and I think Jesus clears it up pretty easily. In verse number 5, Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He said, "I say unto thee, except a man be born of water." I believe that water right there is speaking of the first birth. You see, my wife is with child right now. And there's others in this room that are with child. There's others that have had children. And can I tell you, when you hear those words, the water's broke. There's a baby on the way. There's life on the way. Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit more later on, but I just believe that's what Jesus was saying. He goes on to clear it up in case somebody's confused about it. He says, that which is born of the flesh, that water birth, and that which is born of the Spirit, that capital S, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, that's the spiritual birth. You see, there's two births. Jesus is explaining Nicodemus' question to him. And see, if I'm not careful, I do this a lot. And so that's why I told you this message this morning is going to be very simple. You know, I've been saved for 12 years now, and if I'm not careful, I'll use a lot of phraseology. I'll use a lot of words, a lot of things when I'm talking to people that they don't understand. They might not say what Nicodemus said, but they give me a look like, "What are you talking about?" Right? You've done it if you've talked to people. You tell them, "I got saved," and they're thinking, "Well, what happened to you? Did your bus almost hit you or what? I mean, what do you mean you got saved?" Right? "I got born again." They're looking at you like, "I don't know about this guy, you know, he's born again. What did you come back as?" But anyway, I'm saying, hey, and if I'm not careful, I'll use those phrases with people and they don't understand. And there could be folks in this room this morning and you don't understand. Maybe you've been in church for some time and you've heard preachers talk about being born again and you don't understand. You say, "What does that mean? What does it mean to be born again?" So I have to go back sometimes. I was telling the teenagers the other week, I have to go back sometimes in my mind to when I first got saved. I was telling the other week, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything. Brother Calvin was mentoring me when I first got saved. He led me to the Lord, and he was mentoring me. And I remember him telling me that I needed to tithe, right? He told me, "Brother David, you need to take, you know, a tenth of your income and give it to the Lord. That's called tithing." Well, now I know that's called tithing. But I'm not going to lie to you, okay? This is the truth. It was probably 6 months before I figured out that word was tithe. I just thought he was saying like tithe or tie. I was like, "What is a tie? I mean, that's what you wear to church, right?" I didn't know anything, right? I know that sounds dumb, but I didn't know what a tithe was, right? And there might be somebody sitting here saying, "Man, brother, you just explained that to me." Okay, that's a tithe, right? It's a tenth. And it went on and on. I'm talking about when I first got saved, people would use lingo. Hey, brother David, it's good. Glad that you got saved. Hey, brother. And I'm sitting there looking at these people like, "Who in the world? I don't even know you, man. Calling me brother. Who is this cat? I've never even met him before. He's calling me, all right, bro." You know, I was thinking, what in the world is this brother stuff about? I had to ask somebody, right? Hey, what does brother mean? And Brother Calvin was probably the one that explained that to me. We're saved. We're brothers. We've been born into the family of God, right? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in the same family. We're going to the same place. We're going to spend an eternity together, right? But I didn't understand those things when I first got saved. And so maybe there's someone here this morning, you don't understand what it means to be born again. I want to break it down for you real simple this morning from John chapter 3. It means you need to have a second birth. You see, you had a first birth. Everybody in the building this morning has had a first birth. You were born in the flesh. You were born into this world. You were born into your family, right? But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that you were conceived in sin. You were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The Bible says that we are born in darkness, right? We're children of disobedience. We're blinded by the God of this world. We're at enmity with God. We're dead. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're separated from God spiritually. We're born physically, but we've taken on the likeness of our father Adam. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, we came into this world as sinners separated from God. And spiritually, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. So we're born physically of the water or of the flesh, as it says in verse number 5 and verse number 6. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to enter into those gates, you need a second birth. A birth from above. That's what again means. If you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, it means a birth from above. A second birth. You see, you can't get into heaven being born one time. If you go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven getting born two times. You must be born again. Your first birth's not enough. You got to have a second birth. You see, I had a second birth. October the 16th, 2005, I was born again. I was adopted into the family of God. Spiritually speaking, I was made alive. The Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That word quickened means he made you alive. See, before I got saved, before I trusted Christ, before I got born again, I was a dead man walking. And so were you. And I'll go further than that and say, so are you. There's folks in this room this morning, and this ain't funny. It's not Hollywood. It's not entertainment. It's not Sunday night competition with church. There's really walking dead people. And it ain't on TV. That's a bunch of garbage. But there's real walking dead people. Spiritually speaking, this world is full of walking dead people. Oh, they're alive in the flesh. They're alive physically. But spiritually, they're dead. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And there's only one thing that can change that. And that is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the new birth that's being born again from above. Amen. Have you been born again? Have you had a second birth? Jesus is explaining it to Nicodemus. And I don't have time to go into everything about it, but can I tell you, it's very similar, the first birth and the second birth. You know, when that new baby comes into the world, there's some pain. There's some heartache. There's some travail. I mean, it's rough on us guys. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. I got three of them, right? I'm going to get smacked for this after church. Y'all pray for me. All right? I wasn't really sick last Sunday night, but I might be after church. So y'all please, y'all prayer warriors, y'all get in tune for me here, okay? But no, hey, I'm telling you, I don't even know what I'm talking about. There's travail when a newborn baby comes. There's pain. There's heartache. There's just that birth. It's intense, right? So is a spiritual birth. See, I'm real concerned about people that come down to the altar, you know, popping gum. You know, did you get saved? Yeah, I got saved. Now, I understand not everybody's experience is the same, but I know this. The Bible teaches that lest you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There's some conviction before a birth comes into the heavenly world. There's some pain. I've watched it. Over the years, I've seen a lot of people in pain, spiritually. I thought about you. I thought about Paul when I was preparing this. I don't even see him. He's back here. Paul came down Sunday morning, took him back in that room back there, dealt with him. I mean, there was travail going on in his soul. I mean, my man was tore up about his sin. Talked to him. I didn't pressure him. Tried to ask him. I said, Paul, you want to get saved? I'm just not ready. I said, okay. Paul left, come back Sunday night, walked the aisle again, went back in this room. Travail, pain. Prayed, asked Jesus to come into his heart, be a Savior. Got born again, been smiling ever since. Amen. Got joy, Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just like that physical birth. That baby, when that baby comes, it's pain, it's travail, it's heartache, it's intense. And then all of a sudden that life is born and that precious newborn baby comes into the world and it's like all the pain went away. It's like, it's just a smile that comes over that mother. It's a smile that comes over that room. It's just like a holy hush enters into that room when that baby is safe and sound in mama's arms. You see, it's just, it's pain and then there's birth and there's joy. It's that way in the physical birth and it's that way in the spiritual birth. And it goes on and on. There's so many similarities between the two. And Jesus is explaining what the second birth is. That's what it is. I now want to tell you what it does. What the second birth does. Look at verse number 8. Another verse that there's many opinions about. But those opinions aren't preaching this morning. So verse 8 says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you know that wind? Might have been a breeze blowing right when he was talking to him. Nighttime breeze." He said, "You know that wind that's blowing? You don't see where it's coming from. You don't see where it's going. But you see the effects of it." He said, "Nicodemus, the wind changes things. When the wind blows, the leaves move. They're moving out there right now. When the wind blows, things change." Right? He said, "So it is with those that are born of the Spirit of God." When you get born of the Spirit of God, some things change. I'm talking to you about the second birth this morning. Have you been born again? What is it? What does it do? It changes things. That's what it does. It changes things. You know, when I got born again, some things changed. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Where as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby." You know, when I got born again, my desires changed. My desires changed. See, I'm real concerned about folks that say they're born again. I know a lot of folks that if I were to ask, "Are you born again?" They say, "Oh yeah, I'm born again, Brother David. I've been saved. I've trusted Christ. I've had that second birth." But their desires haven't changed. You see, when I got born again, my desires changed. I didn't used to want to read this word. I didn't used to want to hear Bible preaching. I didn't used to want to go to church. I didn't used to want to be around Christian people. But when I got saved by the grace of God, can I tell you my desires changed? Some things in my life changed. The things I used to like, I didn't like them no more. There was a change in my life when I got born again. I desire some things that are a little bit different. Yeah, I didn't desire that alcohol no more. I didn't desire those drugs anymore. I didn't desire those parties anymore. I didn't desire that lifestyle anymore. You see, when I got saved by the grace of God, God changed my desires. A lot of folks struggling with addictions, and I'm not making light of it because I had some addictions myself. But can I tell you, it ain't a help program out there that's going to change your desires. Your desires are within. You were born with those desires. You were shaping in iniquity. In sin did your parents conceive you. You're darkened by the god of this world. There's only one thing that can change the desires of a man, and that is a second birth. You got to get born again. You got to have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside, and then your desires will change. That's how a man's desires change. Somebody here this morning wants to change. You say, "I'm sick and tired of the drugs. I'm sick and tired of the alcohol. I'm sick and tired of the pornography. I'm sick and tired of the lifestyle." I've got good news for you. Why don't you come to Jesus, get born again by the grace of God, and God will change your desires. God will change what you want in life. You see, when a man gets born again, some things change. His desires change. Can I tell you, his demeanor changes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Wherefore is by one man..." I'm going to got a little fired up. 2 Corinthians, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, there's a change in his demeanor. Everything's new. His attitude is new. The way he looks at life is new. The way he walks around is new. His talk's new. It's all new when you get born again. He changes your demeanor. I used to walk around with my head down. I used to walk around carrying that load of guilt and pain and shame. But when I got born again, Brother Calvin, that load fell off. Brother Steve says them cinder blocks fell off. And now I can walk around by the grace of God with my head held high. I can lay my head on my pillow at night and know, hey, some things have changed in my life. My demeanor's changed. You see, the things that used to excite me changed. My desires have changed, right? I got born again. If you got born again, your desires changed. If you got born again, your demeanor's changed. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand there's people that are backslid and their sin has separated them from God, and so they're walking around with a little bit of a bad demeanor. But you don't have to stay that way. See, because the Bible says that, turn to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. Hold your place there in John chapter 3. Talked about those desires change. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9 says this: whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You say, Brother David, you mean when you get born again you can't sin no more? That's not what that's teaching right there. You see, that word says that he says he cannot sin. It means he can't just live that way anymore. He can't just live in sin anymore. He can't be okay with that lifestyle anymore. You see, when you get saved by the grace of God, you can't just sin and get by with it. You can't just walk around in a lifestyle of sin anymore, because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. So people that say, oh, I'm born again, I've been born again for 20 years, and they've been living a life of sin for 20 years, and there's no conviction, there's no chastisement, there's no spanking, there's nothing in their life that God is condemning them for their wrong, I have a hard time believing they're saved, because the Bible says when someone gets born again, they can't live that way anymore. They can't live in sin anymore and not be happy with it. Brother Allen said it in Sunday school this morning. You see, when you get saved, before you get saved, you want sin. After you get saved, you run from sin. You still sin, but you don't want it anymore. It's like a plague. It's like that old man, and that old man's still there, and he's trying to pull at you, and that new man's pulling at you, and there's a struggle going on. Paul said there's a war between the two. That I would do, I do not. That I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, right? But before you get saved, that struggle's not there. His desires change. His demeanor changes. Not only that, when a person gets born again, his dialect changes. His dialect changes. Start saying brother, right? Amen. I don't ever remember saying amen before I got saved. Right? Your dialect changes. Things you used to talk about, you don't talk about them no more. Those programs you used to watch and listen to, and those movies that you used to watch, and with all that dirty language and those filthy jokes, that stuff just don't go anymore because your dialect's changing. You can't understand that stuff anymore. Feels like a sword stabbing you every time somebody curses. You just feel like you're getting stabbed. Used to not even hear it. Used to do it yourself, right? Not even think nothing of it. Then you get born again, all of a sudden, every time you hear it, it's like a microphone's on it. Right? Because your dialect changes when you get born again. You're a foreigner. You know, foreigners talk with another language. Oh, Peter, that night when Jesus got betrayed, Peter was warming his hands down there by the fire, and Peter was trying to say, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. And one of the ladies said, oh, his speech betrayeth him. He couldn't even trick him. I don't know that brother. I ain't never met that brother before in my life. Everybody's looking at him like, what are you talking about, right? You ever heard somebody trying to act cool that don't know how to? We these teenagers, you know, trying to talk slang, Brother Dave. I do it sometimes. 10 years behind, you know, using phrases that we used in high school, you know. You don't belong. Young people, quit trying to talk like them. You got a different dialect. That's good. Right? You ought to sound different than they do. You ought not talk like they do. Ain't nothing more ridiculous than watching a young Christian kid that grew up in church all their life try to talk like the world. Right? Yeah, that's jive. Jive, man, what in the world? Jive. They ain't said that in 30 years, right? I do it all the time. I say stuff to the teenagers and they're all looking at me, and Meredith's like, that was Marcus and Mariah stuff. You know, that was like so 8 years ago. You got to move on, right? Yeah. That's what you sound like, young people, when you're trying to talk like the world. You sound like so 8 years ago, right? Anyway, your dialect changes, amen? Hey, your decisions change. I'm talking about getting born again, having a second birth. Some things change in your life. The decisions you make change when you get born again. See, I was making a lot of bad decisions before I got saved, but I met Jesus, and all of a sudden my decisions changed. The places I was going to go changed. The things I was going to do changed. The career path I was going to follow changed. Everything I wanted in life changed when I got born again. Your decisions change. Your doctrine changes. Your doctrine. What you believe changes. You know, before I got saved, I had a lot of messed up beliefs. There's folks in this building this morning, before they got born again, they believed it was okay for a man and a man to be in a relationship. But then they got born again, and guess what? Their doctrine changed. There's folks in this building this morning that might have said, you know what? A couple years ago, I really didn't see anything wrong with an abortion. But they got born again, and their doctrine changed. Their beliefs changed, right? I'll just go ahead and say this. Before I got born again, a lot of my doctrines changed since I got born again. Before I got born again, I didn't see a thing wrong with walking around in public half naked. I'm telling you, I'd walk out, I'd go to the beach, I'd go to the racetrack, I'd go anywhere you wanted to go, rip my shirt off and walk around. I mean, just, you know, letting her fly. Didn't see nothing wrong with it. I know, y'all laughing, hurting me, right? It's funny, I know. And some folks in this room might do it, and people's laughing at you too, right? But anyway, so hey, I'm just saying, people walking around half naked, and they don't see nothing wrong with it. They don't care. But you know what? When you get born again, your doctrine changes and your beliefs change. And now I think it's something wrong with somebody that wants to walk around half naked in their underwear in public, right? There's something wrong with that. My beliefs have changed, right? The things I used to believe, I don't believe them anymore. Right? I used to think it was okay on a Sunday afternoon to go to a NASCAR race, right? But that was before I got born again. Now that I got born again, I know where I belong on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday morning for that matter. It's in the house of God. You see, my doctrine's changed. When you get born again, the things you believe change. Right? See, people saying, I'm born again, I'm born again. Their dialect hadn't changed, their desires hadn't changed, their demeanor hadn't changed, their decisions hadn't changed, their doctrine hadn't changed. Can I tell you, when I got born again, my dependence changed? I used to just depend on myself, or depend on my mom, or depend on my dad, or depend on maybe the government to take care of me. You know, I was dependent on natural things, things that I could touch. But ever since I got saved by the grace of God, my dependence is no longer on mom and dad. My dependence is no longer on me. No, I'm dependent on my heavenly Father. You see, the Bible says we come to Him and say, Abba, Father. The Bible says, pray our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, we have a God, we have a Father that we can go to and that we can lean on and that we can depend on. But you have to be born again. See, when I got born again, my dependence changed. I wasn't no longer trusting in me. I'm not trusting in me now. I'm trusting in Him. I'm so much happier since I handed over the reins. I'm glad I ain't got to trust in me to get to heaven, because I'd bust hell wide open. I'm glad I don't have to trust in me if everything collapses, because I don't got much talent. I don't know how to gut a deer, right? I'm going to starve to death. But I ain't trusting in gutting a deer. I'm trusting in Him. My dependence has changed, right? When you get born again, some things change. Not only that, my devotion has changed. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and I'm going to hurry. I lied to y'all just like I did Curtis. I said I was going to be done quick. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7, the Bible says this. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You see, when you get born again, your love changes. Your devotion changes. See, I used to not love right, but when I got born again, the love of God's been shed abroad in my hearts, and I love people that I used to not love. You see, our devotions change. Chapter 5, look at verse 1. It says, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begot loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Our devotions change. We don't love the things we used to love. We don't love the people we used to love. See, I used to love to run around with the boys. I used to love to run around and party. I used to love to run around and stay up late. But you know what? Ever since I got born again, now I love being in church. Now I love being around Christians. Now I love being around the people of God. Our devotion changes when we get born again. I'm telling you, there's a change. Last, and this is probably the best of all. Can I tell you, when you get born again, your desires change, your demeanor changes, your dialect changes, your decisions change, your doctrine changes, your dependence changes, your devotion changes. But bless God, praise God. I mean, we ought to stop and shout for about 15 minutes on this one. Can I tell you what? When you get born again, your destination changes. I was hell bound with the hammer down, but guess what? October the 16th, 2005, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I got born again by the grace of God. And Brian, I'm a pilgrim now. I'm a stranger in a foreign land. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm headed to heaven, hammer bound. I ain't nothing I could do to change it. Can I tell you, I could go out here and do anything I wanted to do and it don't change a thing. I'm on my way to heaven and there's nothing stopping me. My destination's changed. But guess what? I don't want to go out here and do anything else because my desires changed too. Amen. They say, oh, you Baptists, y'all believe you can live how you want to. No, we don't. We believe we've got a Father in heaven that if we live like we want to, will whoop our tails. That's what we believe. I do believe once saved, always saved. But I don't believe that you know, grace gives you a license to sin. No, you get saved by the grace of God. And I tell you what, you won't want to sin. And when you do sin, God will make you wish you didn't. Your desires change, your devotion changes, dialect changes, your demeanor changes, and thank God, your destination changes. I mean, we ought to get excited about that. We're going to heaven, brother. We're going to heaven. I know these minds of ours and these bodies of ours just can't comprehend it, but I'm going to tell you right now, last Saturday, when we went over to that nursing home, Brother Brian, and I was walking down the hallways of that nursing home looking in those rooms and folks laying there in those beds and in those wheelchairs and in a terrible shape, I looked in those rooms and it broke my heart. I just hate sin. I hate what it's done to our world, but I'm glad that one day, can I tell you, we're not going to be stuck in these bodies no more. We're not going to be going to nursing homes no more. We're not going to watch our loved ones get sick anymore. Then we're not going to say goodbye anymore. Our destination's changed because we've been born again. We're going to heaven one day. When you get saved, I'm talking about when you get born again, some things change. I'm talking about some things change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 John chapter 3 says, verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Brother, we're going to change. We've already changed, but one day, one glad day, we're really going to change. We're going to lay this old flesh down, and there's going to be a great change. I couldn't get this song out of my mind. I wish like crazy I could sing. I'm telling you right now, when I get to heaven, I can't wait to get that glorified voice box. My wife's so glad I can't sing. She's smiling. She's so glad I can't. She swears if I'd sing that I'd be so obnoxious she wouldn't be able to put up with me. I don't know where she gets that from. I mean, come on. You know? I don't get it, Brother Dave. But she's just so glad I can't sing. But I'm going to try anyway. Just joking. She, her heart is down here racing, man. I'm telling you right now, she's saying, please, he's getting old and he just don't care. He thought he was going to die last week, so now he just don't care no more, right? Now, I'm not going to sing in front of everybody, but I might a little bit. Hey, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Amen. When you get saved, things change, amen. When you get born again, things change. Aren't you glad they changed, Brother Calvin? I'm glad they changed. I'm so glad they changed. I'm thankful for the change in my life. I'm glad for the day that I trusted Christ. I got born again and a great change happened in my life. Thank God for the change. So that's what it does. You say, how's it happen? I'm going to finish. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace through faith. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said this. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Some people believe that Jesus was saying there, and I don't think it's doing no harm to the Scripture, so I'm going to share it with you. Some people believe that he was saying, you got to be born of the water, the Word of God. The Bible says we're washed by the water through the Word. A lot of times in the Word of God, the Bible is referred to as the water. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, I think it is, says, being born again, right? Being born again, that's what we're talking about. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, the water is the Word. And Jesus said, if a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, capital S, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together, makes a child of God. The night I got saved, for the first time in my life, I really, really heard. I mean, I'm talking about I heard it. Not in my ears, not in my head, but in my heart. I heard the Word of God. And the Spirit of God moved. And those two came together. And like a miracle that only could be created in the mind of God, there was a new birth. A child of God. Born from above. A second birth. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Can I ask you this morning, has there ever been a time in your life, and this is so real, it's a must, that you got born again? You heard the Word of God. It pricked you in your heart. And the Spirit of God moved and watered it. And it grew and it birthed a child of God. Has there ever been a time in your life where you truly, truly believed what God said about you? That you were a sinner. And that if you were to die in that condition, you would die in your sin and be separated from God forever. And you didn't want to stay that way. And so you did what God said. You repented of your sin. John chapter 3, let's close right there. John chapter 3, back to where we started at. I believe Jesus is still talking to Nicodemus here in John. I know He is. John chapter 3, Jesus is still talking to Nicodemus. In verse 11, He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And look, here it is. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And then look down into verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Has there ever been a time in your life, not that you joined the church, not that you got baptized, I don't believe for one minute anywhere in that passage Jesus was talking about baptism. Jesus said, this is what it takes, Nicodemus. Believe. Believe that God sent His Son into this world to die in the place of man. God sent not His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Have you ever put your faith in nothing but Jesus Christ? Not your good works, not your church membership, not your last name, but in Jesus and Jesus alone. And have you ever been born again? I gave you a lot of explanation of what it is. It's going to change some things if you have been. If there's never been a change in your life, I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God. I understand doesn't everybody change at the same pace and doesn't everybody change the same way, but everybody that gets born again changes. And so if you haven't changed, you're probably not born again. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the preaching this morning. Thank you for your attention. My wife's going to begin to play. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask one question and then I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. I'm going to ask two questions. I said at the beginning, if I were to ask how many people know without a shadow of a doubt they've been born again, it'd be hard for everybody to raise their hand. So I'm going to ask you to do that if you would. If you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, you know that you have been born again, I'd like for you to lift your hand. Would you raise your hand with me? Say, I know that I've been born again. Okay, you can put your hands down. I wasn't able to see every hand, but I know there was hands that were not up. And if that's the case this morning, Jesus said it's a must. It's a must. The only way you can see heaven, the only way you can enter the gates, the only way you can get there is to be born again. Is there anybody here this morning say, you know, as you were speaking the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As you were speaking the Word of God, God spoke to me. His Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I realized I'm not born again, but I want to be. I want to be born again. Brother David, would you pray for me that I would take that step and trust Christ as my Savior and be born again? Would you pray for me? Anybody like that would raise their hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody, lift your hand and let me see it so that I can have prayer for you. Say, I'm not sure that if I were to take my last breath today, that I would go to heaven. And I'm concerned about it. I want to be born again. Would you raise your hand? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. Anybody else? God's moving. I see that hand. Anybody else? I remember the night. Man, do I remember the night. God was moving in my heart. My stomach was in knots, sweat on my brow. That travail was in my soul. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Not one time in the last 12 years have I ever even thought, why'd I do it? I'm so glad I took that step and I trusted Christ. Anybody else? One more. Say, I'm not sure that I'm born again and I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I see that hand. Tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to turn it over to our pastor. And what he's going to do is he's going to give an invitation. And if you would like to come forward and you would like to have somebody take the Bible, take you in a room to the side, not embarrass you. When nobody's looking, we'll take you to the side. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be born again. If you would like to do that, we want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. I'm going to turn it over to our pastor and he can do what he wants in the invitation.
Thank you, Brother David. Let's all stand to our feet. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and I want to do just that. I'm going to ask Christians that are here today that God spoke to your heart. And yes, God does speak to Christians' heart with a message like this. What a challenge. If God spoke to your heart, I want you to slip out from your seat right now. If you're saved, you say, I know I'm saved. I've been born again. But God's word spoke to me about a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, someone that I know that needs to be born again, and I just want to lift their name up in prayer. As these Christians are moving and praying, who here today, you've already lifted your hand, or perhaps you didn't, but you would like to be saved today.